right where you are. Come on and tell them.
Oh, I have received.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
No way. know that there is no way. Oh, there is no way. There is no way. Oh, Lord, there is no way. There is no way I can live all without you.
Oh, come on and bless him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Somebody's testimony is, I tried it. I tried to live without him. But I am here to testify. There is no way. Come on. There is no way. There is no way I can live without the Lord. Father, we bless your name now. We pray, God, that you will give us a word that will encourage our hearts and that will once again remind us that we can't make it without you. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. As we stand on this Sunday morning, God bless you, choirs. Thank you. Job chapter 1. We will commence reading at verse 14 through verse 19. Thank you, God. And there came a messenger unto Job, and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, this text is tailored to teach us to wait and worship. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, ushers. I was getting dressed for church one morning, and suddenly the words on the can of olive oil hairspray I was using at that time caught my eye and arrested my attention. I picked up the can and read the words on the label over and over again. Those words said, warning, contents under pressure. Do not puncture or incinerate. It even said, keep out of the reach of children. Harmful or fatal if swallowed. And the words caught my attention because, in a real sense, they summarize the situation going on in many of our lives. People are living under pressure. People are on the verge of exploding. They are just a few degrees away from losing it. Can't stand the heat, but they don't know how to get out of the kitchen. The pressures and the calamities of this present life are destroying them. Slowly but surely and bit by bit, they are living under pressure, wondering just how much anyone is expected to take. Some of y'all ought to be wearing a warning sign this morning, saying, warning, stay away. Warning, danger approaching. There are times when I could wear a sign. You could wear a sign. Every one of us could wear a sign. Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head, because people are trying to figure out how to handle what they can't handle. Everybody in here has heard about the problems of Job. We know his story. We've heard it so many times before. We know how trouble came his way. In spite of how righteously he tried to live, Job found himself the unsuspecting victim of a malicious scheme of that devil, who himself was engaged in a battle with God, all the while trying to destroy the life of one of God's children. You will remember that there came a day, the Bible says, when the sons of God came to present themselves before God at a family reunion up in heaven, and Satan came among them. Now, some of you are looking at me and wondering, what was Satan doing in heaven at a family reunion of the sons of God? He came, my brothers and sisters, because the correspondence had gone out to all of God's creation. And he is as much a part of God's family as you are a part of your family. He tries to do the same thing to you that he has consistently tried to do to others down through the years. The Bible says Satan came among them. And when he showed up, he came with one thing on his mind. And that was devising a scheme to bring down, to destroy, to tear up the life of a child of God. Sister Rapunzel, I come by to tell you that we need not ever forget that Satan still comes among us. Satan still shows up. I wonder if I have any witnesses here today. Wherever the sons and the daughters of God get together, Satan still shows up. In your family, in my family, in your life, in my life, Satan still comes among us. Oh, you better hear me today, because he's probably here right now. And he's here because somebody brought him with them. Will you please raise your hand? Amen. He always shows up. Wherever God's children get together, it doesn't matter if it's a business meeting or a fraternity meeting. It doesn't matter if it's a worship service or a commencement service. It doesn't matter if it's a wedding or a funeral. Satan still comes among us. And the word says he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. As I was preparing this message, thoughts filled my mind concerning the things that are going on all over the world, but particularly in these United States of America today. Children shooting up schools, children killing other children, and even killing their parents, men in jail with life sentences hanging over their head, women strung out on drugs, our elderly citizens living in fear, gangs on our streets, trouble on the streets, trouble in the hood, trouble here, there, and everywhere. Our world is living under pressure. We got a fool in the White House that's doing all kind of crazy stuff, and so there's pressure everywhere, in everything, in everybody. Just look at the world all around us. People are living under pressure, struggling under pressure, striving under pressure. There's unprecedented violence. Folk are starving in Gaza. A lack of morals and discipline, no rules, no ethics, no accountability. Folk would rather start a war sending nuclear submarines into places that bring nothing but danger rather than own up to their own failings and their own trouble. Amen. And it seems everybody is singing Frank Sinatra's classic, one of my favorite songs, I Did It My Way. But what will you do when trouble comes your way? What will you do when trouble comes on top of trouble? What will you do when trouble comes like it did in the life of Job, when it comes in abundance? What will you do when you don't know what to do? And when trouble comes out of nowhere for no apparent reason, the scripture tells us that Job was a perfect an upright man. And there are not many of us in this room who can make that testimony. But the Bible says of Job, amen, that he was perfect and upright. He feared God. He stayed away from evil. But guess what, y'all? Trouble still came. The scripture tells us that Job believed in God so much that he prayed every day. He worshiped at every opportunity. He paid his vows before the Lord. He offered acceptable sacrifices unto God. Job was so righteous before God that he sacrificed. In case his children sinned, Job set aside a sacrifice just in case my children do something that I don't know about. I'm trying to let you know this was a righteous man. But still trouble came. And it didn't just come, y'all. It came, the Bible says, in abundance. The scripture says it came, watch this, while he was yet speaking. Look at the text with me, right before your very eyes. There in verse 14, God's word says, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. But then Job 1 and 15, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. What a way to start your day. Job was a devout follower of God. Job worshiped God. Job offered sacrifices and praise unto God. But trouble came, the Bible says, while he was yet speaking. For in the 16th verse, we see that before he had time to react to one thing, something else happened. Before he had time to get himself together, to get back on his feet, something else happened. Oh, I'm talking to somebody in this room today. Has that ever happened to you? Do you find yourself getting in trouble while you're already in trouble? Do you find yourself trying to get up only to be knocked down again? And there are times when it looks like the more you do good, the more evil comes your way. Look at Brother Job. For while the messenger was yet speaking, trouble came again. Verse 16, while he was yet speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, somebody would be quick to tell Job. Y'all know how we like to spiritualize everything. Y'all know how we go to Sunday school a couple of weeks, amen, and get a few Bible scriptures under our collar, and we want to be, amen, so spiritual. And I'm sure somebody would be quick to tell Brother Job, man, trust in the Lord, and everything will be all right. Come on. Somebody will point out that, well, you know, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Somebody would turn to the scripture that says, well, Brother Job, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Somebody would tell Job that things were going to be all right. You just hold to God's unchanging hand. Somebody would tell Job, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's the easiest thing in the world to do, as long as it's not you standing in Job's shoes. I wish I had a witness in here today. That's good advice till it happens to you. But how do you handle the things you can't handle? What you gonna do when it comes for you? When trouble comes, misery comes, when disappointment comes, when tears come, evidence tells us that we are not all waiting on the Lord. We're not as spiritual as we make out, as long as trouble is at somebody else's door. Come on, where are my witnesses at? Oh, I did my research. I know I'm right about it, because alcohol sales, drug sales tell us that we aren't all waiting on the Lord. The murder statistics, the domestic violence reports, the divorce court records tell us we're not all trusting God to turn it around. Evidence tells us we're not all trusting God to make a way somehow. We're not just standing still to see the salvation of the Lord, but most of us are trying to figure out how to fix it on our own. Can we be real? We are real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the need. Come on, where are my folk who will admit that, yes, Pastor, amen, I heard you say trust God, but I was trying to figure out how I was going to pay that bill myself. I was trying to figure out how to get out of that trouble myself. People are becoming increasingly impatient. They're seeking their own solutions, trying to find their own way, trying to make sense of things that make no sense at all. But I still remember Reverend Harrison saying, if you're going to succeed, Brother Garner, as a pastor, you need the patience of Job. Y'all 33 years. I can stand here flat-footed and look y'all in the face and tell you how I was able to make it these 33 years. Amen. It took the patience of Job. Oh my. Y'all see, until you've been in those shoes, you don't know what it's like, amen, to try and please folk who from different backgrounds, different, amen, different lifestyles, different this and different that. One wants it this way, another one wants it that way. Another one thinks the choir ought to operate like this. Another one thinks the choir ought to, another one thinks the ushers ought to do this. Another one thinks, and you gotta, amen, you've gotta have the patience of Job. Oh, y'all ought to clap better than that. Amen. It took me a while to realize what Reverend Harrison meant, but now I understand. Because we are impatient people. We want results. And we want them right now. We want everything in a hurry. Amen. We don't want to wait for anything. But I want you to know today, God knows just what he's doing. And God not only knows what we need, he knows just when we need it the most. Come on, give him praise in this place. But the problem is that in this hurry up, do it now, I'm tired of waiting world that we live in, so many have forgotten how to wait. And if the Lord don't come when we want him, then we don't think he comes on time. I don't care what y'all singing. He may not come when you want him, but no, if he don't come when I want him to come, I don't think he's on time. You see, we have become so accustomed to having things our way, and when it don't go our way, we get upset, we lose focus of the true and living God. We want instant cures for everything, from a toothache to heartbreak. And we find that waiting is difficult. Don't y'all get quiet on me now. In a world where you can zap your food in the microwave, eat a hot meal in a minute, waiting is difficult. In a world where emotions are more important than values, waiting is difficult. In a world where we're accustomed to having everything here and now, waiting is difficult. In this hurry up, give it to me now, get it done now, let's go now world we live in, when we walk up to tellers, to ATMs, to drive up windows, put money at your fingertips 24 hours a day, waiting is difficult. In a world where you can get eyeglasses in an hour, waiting is difficult. In a world where you can take a picture in a minute, scan it, and send it around the globe in a matter of minutes, waiting is difficult. Oh, yes, we're in a world that's on the move. You can wake up in Alexandria, eat breakfast, get on a plane, eat lunch in Atlanta, get on another plane, eat dinner in Chicago, and eat a midnight snack in Hawaii when you get there. So we're accustomed to, I want it right now. But is there anybody here who's walked with God long enough to know that if you want to be blessed, if you're going to make it through your problems, if you're going, and let me tell you something, if you don't learn how to wait on him, oh, I got some witnesses here who will tell you that God will put you in a situation. He will so fix things that you can't help but wait on him. And even while you're waiting on him, do you know what he'll do? He'll show you folk who said they had your back, and he will teach you that man will lie. But is there anybody here who's glad to know that you serve a God who is not a man that will lie? If God said he'll fix it, he'll fix it. If God says he'll do it, he'll do it. Come on, give him praise for all that he's done. Job reminds us that you can't hurry God. You got to wait on him. But Pastor, thank you for letting me know that I've got to wait on him. But I've got one question for you, Pastor. What do I do while I'm waiting? Oh, I'm so glad you asked this morning. Amen. Some folk will say, I can look at my phone, I can look at Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. Amen. But that ain't really, that's not what you ought to